Our sermon today is based on a reading from Exodus chapter 19, verses 9b through 25, picking up where we left off last week. When Moses had told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and prepare for the third day, because on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set limits for the people all around, saying, 'Be careful not to go up to the mountain or to touch the edge of it. Any who touch the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch them, but they shall be stoned or shot with arrows, whether animal or human being. They shall not live.' When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they may go up on the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people. He consecrated the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, "Prepare for the third day. Do not go near a woman." On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, as well as a thick cloud on the mountain, and a blast of a trumpet so loud that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, while the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses would speak and God would answer him in thunder. When the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, the Lord summoned Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people not to break through to the Lord to look. Otherwise, many of them will perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people are not permitted to come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, 'Set limits around the mountain and keep it holy.'" The Lord said to him, "Go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you, but do not let either the priest or the people break through to come up to the Lord. Otherwise, he will break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. May God add blessings to the reading and the hearing of the word today. Well, last week I shared with you my enthusiasm and love for the desert, one of my pivotal reasons for moving to Rio Doso. The desert does not daunt me. There is hope in the desert. It takes perseverance and faith to make it through the desert, but it's worth it to find the lushness and life on the other side. Another thing that drew me here were the mountains. I love mountains too. My grandfather's people in Kentucky lived in the mountains, in Pineville specifically, in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. Although I never visited or lived there, I think a love of the mountains is rather genetic, inherent. So I am always excited to be in and surrounded by mountains. I'm in awe of Sierra Blanca, and all the other mountains all around us. I'll have to take up hiking to get to know them better. Mountains, like the desert, can seem impossible and impassable. At first, when you encounter a mountain, it is formidable to consider trekking up those steep sides to get to the top and then making it all the way down the other side. But it's usually well worth the climb to see the view, to feel for a moment you are on top of the world, master of all you survey, able to see for miles and miles and miles. There are scenes and secrets on the mountain calling me, just as there are scenes and secrets on that wondrous, earth-shaking, thunder-filled, enlightening day when God called to Israel from the heights of Mount Sinai. God was in the beginning stages of imparting to the Israelites the wonderful plan God had for them. God doled it out to them in bits and pieces, kind of giving them a teaser of what was to come. And God gave them sure signs that it was God who was speaking to them and God who was with them. The thunder, the lightning, the trumpet blast, the fire, the smoke, the earthquake, all of it served as reminders of God's power and God's presence. It was God's way of saying, "Welcome to the mountain. Welcome to wonderful sights and inspiring challenges. Welcome to a new relationship with the God of all mountains." In the future, instead of being afraid of thunder, lightning, trumpets, fire, smoke, and earthquakes, the people of Israel would pause and say a prayer. That is God. They would remember this moment with God. They would remember they belonged to God now, and they had nothing to fear when God would appear. God was watching them, guarding them, leading them, and loving them. God gathered them at the mountain to initiate a new covenant with them, a covenant that began with consecration and continued with obedience, listening to God's instructions about preparation and respecting the boundaries God had set around the mountain. As I read the passage again, I stopped where it said Moses consecrated the people, and I started to ponder, what does it mean to consecrate? One definition I looked up said, to consecrate is to make or declare something, typically a church, sacred, or to dedicate something, a person, a place, or a thing, formally, to a religious or divine purpose. The word consecration literally means association with the sacred. It means to make something or someone holy, to set it or them apart, to dedicate it or them to a higher purpose. And that's exactly what the people of Israel needed right then. Having been enslaved for so long, kept under the thumb of their Egyptian masters and overseers, they needed to know they were now free to serve a better master. They needed to know they mattered. They needed to know they were loved. They now had a higher purpose to show the difference God was making in their lives and to show that God could turn them, this ragtag group of nomads and complainers, into something formidable with a divine purpose. And what was that purpose? To show God's love and power to all those whom they would encounter, to demonstrate how faith works and how obedience and patience ultimately pay off in the form of God's abundant blessings. God wanted Israel to represent to the world what God could do and would do for those who loved and served and honored God. This is what Moses consecrated the people to. How did he do it? Did he go among them and touch each of them on the forehead and offer a blessing? Or did he do it corporately, waving his hands over them and pronouncing a blessing on them? Perhaps that's what he did, since there were so many of them. Doing individual blessings would have taken hours and hours. Did they take their consecration to heart? Did a wave of awe go over them when they realized what it meant? We are consecrated, we are blessed, we are set apart, we are ready. To some, a mountain is an impenetrable barrier. Sometimes journeying people get to a mountain and give up, thinking they can't climb it or they might as well not even try. God was preparing Israel to climb the mountain of faith that lay before them. And they had God's reassurance that they would indeed make it over that mountain and into the promised land. There were probably some in the company who were reluctant to make the climb. They thought it was too hard and they were too weak. They thought it was too high and they were too tired. They just didn't see how they would ever make it over that mountain. I know we've all had that kind of bottom of the mountain experience. We've all come to a place and a point where the obstacles just seem to be too massive, too unyielding, too much for us. It's rocky and it's steep, and there doesn't seem to be a clear path upwards. Will it even be worth the climb? Israel could have turned around right then and there and walked away from the sacred challenge ahead of them, but then they would have missed the blessings God had waiting for them at the end of the climb. Yes, God was testing their mettle. God wanted to know how strong they could be. If they faltered and felt they had no strength, God was letting them know in the thunder, lightning, trumpets, fire, smoke, and earthquake that they could and should rely on God's strength instead of their own to make it over the mountain. God had not brought them through the desert and to the mountain just to abandon them to their own devices. God knew what they were capable of and what they needed to do. The mountain was just a test to see if they would obey God, first by staying away as they were ordered, and to see if they would trust God to create a perfect pathway for them as they headed for their next adventure. In this time of change and transition and welcome, we find ourselves at the foot of a mountain, looking up, watching, and waiting for God. The Chinese symbol for change is a blending of the words danger and opportunity. We may feel like the Israelites, reluctant to move forward, but we have to follow their lead by embracing obedience and faith. And like them, we cannot look back at the flesh pots of Egypt. God has brought us to this momentous mountain moment for a reason. God wants to make us into something formidable with a divine purpose. And it's the ancient purpose of the Israelites now handed down to us to show God's love and power to all those we encounter, to demonstrate how faith works and how obedience and patience ultimately pay off in the form of God's abundant blessings. Are we going to turn around and walk away from the challenge and the promises that lie ahead of us? Are we going to say the barriers are just too much to surmount so that we won't even try? Are we going to turn our back on God's warm welcome and resign ourselves to sticking with the status quo? That's not why I came here. I came here to climb some mountains with you, with God. I came here to catch the thunder and listen to the lightning and see the fire and watch the smoke and hear the trumpets and feel the earthquake with you, with God. I came here to challenge myself and to challenge you to make that journey upward with the assurance that God will help us over every obstacle and God will clear a path for us and God will ultimately bring us to that mountaintop experience and the land of promise we long for. The mountains don't daunt me. The mountains won't haunt me. They are indeed danger and opportunity. They are here to teach us just how strong, how faithful, how tough we are when we climb with God. God is watching us, guarding us, leading and loving us. When Moses brought the people out to Mount Sinai, did he have to say explicitly to them, "Come on along with me. No need to fear. You are consecrated. You are blessed. You are set apart for a divine purpose. You are ready." It is our God up there, and God is going to do great and wonderful things for us and with us. Welcome to the mountain. I bet that's just what he did. So I will borrow from Moses and say, "Come along with me. No need to fear. We are consecrated. We are blessed. We are set apart for a divine purpose. We are ready." It is our God up there, and God is going to do great and wonderful things for us and with us. Welcome to the mountain. Let us pray. Speak to us in thunder, God. Come to us with fire and smoke and power and majesty. As we stand at the foot of the mountain, eager to hear you and do your will, may we never fear when you appear. May we sing and pray with the Israelite ancestors. That is God. We are consecrated, we are blessed, we are set apart for a divine purpose. We are ready. Amen. you. Don't forget our Thanksgiving fellowship meal afterwards. We'll say a prayer for it now, and so we can all go in and dig right in. God, thank you for this day, and thank you for this moment where we will share fellowship with one another. Bless the food and the hands that have prepared it. Bless us now as we continue to go forward in faith and climb that mountain and find you waiting for us at the top. In all these things, we ask your blessing. Amen.